Thank you very much, Siddesh. As the undercurrent of his presentation was the transformation from I to we. The question was posed to Swami, and this was with respect to what is going on all over in the world. So this devotee was kind of saying, what is this happening, Swami? Why can't you stop? Swami said to the devotee there, he said, it is everything is within you. Everything. He said, how? Swami goes and says further, the thoughts, words, and deed, everything, your actions, everything has to be like one. There should be a complete unity in all these three things. Then your individual will be in the order. If the individual is in order, the house will be in the order. If the house is in order, the community will be in order. Community is in order, the city will be in order. There goes by the state and the nation and the world. So the undercurrent is the transformation of the individual, where we are said by Siddesh. With that, we are now moving on to the fourth presenter of the day. I would like to welcome Yamini Bala, and she'll be talking about the youth aspect of a journey from I to we. Welcome to Yamini.
Hello? Oh, yeah. Thanks. Sairam, everyone.
Sairam.
Thank you all for being here, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this panel with such excellent speakers and model young adults. And I also want to applaud Professor Anil Kumar for taking the initiative to organize a forum like this to give space to hear the voices and the concerns and the ideas of young people. And I know that you faced considerable pressure not to share the stage today, so we really, I think it speaks to your conviction in the ideas of youth that you're organizing events like this both in the U.S. and all across the world. So thank you. To start on the youth aspects of the journey from I to we, I wanted to have a volunteer from the audience read the Swami quote.
It is only the youth who are capable of protecting the world. It is the youth and youth alone who can set this world straight. Sometimes the elders underestimate the capabilities of youth, thinking that they are inexperienced and young. But the youth are endowed with immense power. If they take a firm resolve, they are capable of achieving anything. If they realize their power, they can emancipate the nation. The participation of youth is necessary for the welfare of the world.
So this is a very powerful quote that Swami gives us. And I want to actually ask you guys how youth are characterized based on Swami's words. What are some of the ideas or the phrases or words that jump out at you in the way that Swami describes young people? You can go ahead and just shout them from there. Firm resolve. Dynamic. A lot of energy.
Conviction.
Opinions and ideas of their own.
Creativity.
Self-confidence.
Leading from the front.
Yes, clearly very inspiring and positive traits that Swami notices in young people. Now I want to jump to the topic that I was asked to present about. Next one. Today, and this is the way that it was outlined to me. Can you read that again, Marie?
How are the youth? What do they want? Present day problems, chaos, confusion among youth. What is the cause for tension, anxiety, restlessness among youth? What do youth expect from the Psy organization?
So I'm going to ask you guys the same question again. How would you say that youth are characterized based on the way that we're talking about youth in today's discussion? What are some of the words that are jumping out at you from here? Confused? Tension? Restless? Others?
Frustration?
Expectations. Right, so obviously a very different categorization. And I don't mean to imply that anyone is better or worse or that anyone is more or less accurate, but I do want to observe that there is a really stark dichotomy between the ideals that Swami sets forth for us as young people and the reality or the perceptions of the reality by the broader Sai community as far as where youth are today. And in order to address the causes of this dichotomy, I wanted to share a couple of snapshots from my working life. I'm working in the field of education and have had lots of experiences in different communities working with young people. And so this is actually a picture of a classroom from Kripa Montessori School where I work right now. And this is what I would call the best case scenario as far as the American dream and American culture. I think this is what a lot of people strive for in terms of their lifestyle and their family life. And what we see here is that the kids at our school, by and large, are members of an affluent community. They have a comfortable home in the suburbs. It's a quiet area. It's very safe. They have a lot of other kids around them to play with. Their family is stable. They have both of their parents at home. Both of their parents are educated. They're usually successful professionals. They're very loving, and they want to provide the best of opportunities to their kids. And there's no doubt that all these kids are going to grow up, do well in school, go to college, get good jobs when they come out, start their own families, and have a similar lifestyle again. But what we see a lot of times at this school is we're open from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., and we have kids that are there for that entire time every day. And their parents come and pick them up, and when they get them, they're not saying, oh, I miss you so much, I can't wait to go home and play with you. They're saying, come on, we got to go to Kumon now. You have to study math, and you have to study English. So these are kids that haven't even reached kindergarten yet. They're about 4 years old, and they have already 12 to 14-hour working days in their academic life. And so what we see is that their academics are very strong. They have a lot of opportunities, and this is really good. But what about the quality of their family life? What about the quality of their spiritual development, their cultural development? I think that the values that they learn or that they're taught from a young age are competition, they learn pressure, they learn stress, they learn to strive for perfection, and those things carry with them as they grow older, get to high school, get to working life. And so what's clearly missing here is just the time that they can spend with their families, the quality of loving relationships in their life, and not that they're absent, but that they don't have as much time to really develop that sense of belonging in their family. And now I want to flip to the other end of the spectrum and ask you to read again. This is a testimonial from one of the youth that I worked with in Detroit, in the inner city, and speaks to the quality of the public schools there.
When I wake up, my mom is already gone. She works three jobs, makes minimum wage, and no health insurance. I barely get to see her. I have to be quiet because my uncle is usually sleeping on the couch. He's an alcoholic and lives with us. He's sick a lot, and most of our money goes to his medicines. If I wake him up, he gets angry and hits us. I leave for school and have to be careful because I walk through a gang area. I see people who sell drugs or their bodies. There's a lot of stealing, shooting, and other stuff. School is important because education is supposed to be my ticket to success. Education is supposed to set my mind free. But when I get to school, it's more like jail than anything. I don't feel free at all. I think they're training us to be criminals sometimes. There's a long line outside to get through security. We need to pass through metal detectors. Then the guards with guns do a body search and search our backpacks. But I don't know why, because we have to carry clear backpacks anyway. Then we get to our lockers, but we don't have the keys, so we have to wait for the guard. If they take too long, we're late to class, or we can't get our books. But if we show up late or unprepared, we get suspended automatically. This happens a lot now because of zero tolerance. So after going through all of this, just to get to my class where I'm supposed to learn, they tell me to leave. What is the point then? I wonder if the kids that dropped out and joined gangs or sell drugs are the smart ones. They have more money than my mom. They have each other, someone to take care of them. They can support their families, too. That's better than I can say for me. Seventh grade, Eric.
Thanks. So if Eric actually makes it to high school, he has a 21% chance of graduating in 4 years from a Detroit public school. And given these circumstances, for about 50% of the students there, the choice is clear, and they opt out of their schooling around the age of 16 or so. So given that this is what I would call the worst case scenario, something that everyone wants to avoid if at all possible. And given that this is the reality on both ends of the spectrum, my question is, can we expect young people not to be confused or restless or anxious or tense? Is there any way that they would be anything else, just looking around at the world around them, seeing all these problems, seeing their peers go through these problems? What can we expect of our young people? And I think that internally and externally, our energy mirrors itself. Swami says reflection, reaction, and resound. And so when there's chaos and confusion in the world around us, that chaos and confusion also exists within us, and vice versa. And so when I was asked, what is the cause for the present-day confusion and chaos among youth, my question is, how can there be anything but chaos and confusion among youth? I think that the world that young people are about to inherit is riddled with problems. Everywhere you look, there is an economic crisis, an environmental crisis, a global climate crisis, moral crisis, healthcare crisis. All these things are what we're hearing about constantly. And on top of it, for Psy youth, there's this imminent feeling that our time with Swami's presence as a physical avatar on this earth is dwindling. And so we're running out of time to connect with him on that physical level. So, of course, youth are restless and tense and anxious and confused and scared. But my question is that necessarily a bad thing? I, for one, would be much more worried about the fate of the world if young people didn't care, if they weren't impatient and didn't have a sense of urgency to reach out and to change some of this reality, and if they didn't want to lift their hands in service and make transformations within themselves and in their communities to help some of these situations. So the common thread that I saw in both of these scenarios is that there's a lack of love and a lack of loving relationships to really nurture the best character and the potential out of these students. And as Psy young adults, we're blessed with the knowledge that there is an endless source of divine love that is accessible to all of us at any moment. And although this is accessible to everyone in the world, we actually know about it. And that's our blessing as young adults. And with everything that's going on around us, I think the role of young adults today is to be ambassadors of that divine love and to really cultivate it within ourselves, to grow it inside in any way possible, and to then allow that to radiate out into the world around us and to share it with everyone that we come into contact with, to go out into our communities and to spread that message, whether it's by banners, whether it's by our manners. I think the message needs to get out there into our communities. So I would argue that for this organization, the restlessness, the tension, the anxiety that we perceive is actually an asset to this organization. And one young adult said to me that unharnessed restlessness can lead to walls of resistance. And so I would say that restlessness by itself is not bad. It's a sign that there's energy and there's potential inside that's bubbling up and it's seeking an outlet. So what do Psy youth need from the Psy organization? As I was asked, what do we expect from the Psy organization? Can you go to the next? Oh, you can go again. I think the a key question is to think about how the Psy organization can really harness that energy and put it into action in meaningful ways. And service is an opportunity that really speaks to a lot of youth and gets a lot of us inspired and excited. And it's amazing that despite the amount of need that we can see everywhere around us in our communities, it's really hard to do service today. Young people find it really hard to get a project going, and I think there's a variety of factors that contribute to that. I think that we would be served by having proactive programs to foster and nurture leadership potential from young people in the Psy organization. I think that we could use mentoring and guidance on applying Swami's teachings into the quote-unquote real world. We have the advantage of Swami's values and Swami's love in our lives, but I think as you've seen, we struggle to find a balance and strike a balance between societal expectations sometimes and Swami's expectations. Next. Youth need a sense of belonging. We need to feel that we're part of something greater than ourselves, and we need an environment that's more in tune with the needs and challenges that are specific to youth. And it's during this age range that we go through a lot of major transitions. Our YA groups are in constant flux. We go through a lot of changes. Actually, change is pretty much the only constant when we're young. And so I think as long as we have any kind of aversion or fear of change, we will run the risk of alienating young people from our activities. And so we need to have the opportunities to try new things, to make changes, to experiment. And if we make mistakes, have the benefit of the entire Psy community and all the adults to catch us as a support net and to help us and to guide us back onto the right path. Another thing that young people have expressed to me is that we need to seriously begin to make the transition from our reliance on Swami as a physical being to Swami as an internal driving energy within us. And so we really need the guidance and the support of the adults in the organization to help us make that transition. Finally, I think that a time comes in every organization when we need to really look critically at ourselves as a collective and begin to see what we can do to improve our own standards and to reach our own highest potential. And we've all heard the saying that it takes a village to raise a child, but I think we're now seeing that we're getting to a point where that child is now needing to raise the village. It's going to take that child to raise the village again, and we need to have this be a village that we're happy to raise children in, that is the type of village that we want to raise our children in, and raise the standards, grow with the children, and be able to see through their eyes and through their struggles how we as a collective can reach our own highest potential. And I think if we can accomplish all of this together, children, youth, and adults all together can take that journey from I to we and complete the journey beyond we to he to Psy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Yamini. Very well said. Today's youth is an ambassador of Swami's love and reaching out to everyone out there. I would like to give a quick, this is a personal experience, and this is what happened about in 2007 December. I'm going to take her permission. Yamini was traveling on an Air India flight from Bombay to Chicago. I happened to be on the same flight. In the morning at about 5 o'clock, I got to the airport. We were in Frankfurt after 8 hours. I was very hungry. On that day, I had not taken my dinner. I was very hungry. I was sitting in the transition lounge. There comes Yamini. She had a box in her hand, and she offered that box to me. And what was in that? There was a full of lemon rice. It's like Swami sending you the food, the love. That's the reaching out. You expect for something, and there is God sending his messenger with love and food. Once again, I would like to thank all the panel members here. To comply with the proceedings of our session here, one thing I want to do is quick, the sanity check of the time. Looks like we are about, 15, 20 minutes we are behind. Okay, but we are now going to invite the audience with questions, which our panel member and the moderator is going to answer. I would like to welcome Professor Anil Kumar to the dais. And please hand over the index card with your questions to the volunteers who are on both the sides of the hall. Thank you.